put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable, psychologist, life coach, mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. Whether you're married with children, single, divorced, or all of the above, I'm talking to you about life, relationships, and of course, whenever possible, sex.
Ooh, hi.
As you can hear, I am joined by the charming and talented Todd Anderson, actor, husband, father extraordinaire. He comes in handy for a male perspective. Thanks for being here, Todd.
Woo, Todd! It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Are you a stay-at-home parent? Are you sick of your kids? Are you wondering when it's going to get better? Well, we're going to talk about that today. We have a guest today who is also here to talk about the male perspective. He is the host of The Gamut with Steve Belanger here on Sideshow Network. For more information on The Gamut or his new one-man show, It's About Time, opening soon in New York City, go to stevebelanger.com. So, stay-at-home dad, Steve Belanger, thank you for joining us. Woo! Applause for you, too.
Yay.
Yes, you get applause
so much
for that.
Weaker than the Todd got such good applause.
No. You'll hear it. You'll hear it in the edit.
We'll
you get, like,
post,
the whole, yeah,
like
it's all in
stadium,
post, baby.
Just chanting
oh,
the
yeah.
Way.
You got Maria, can we get a stadium for him?
That.
That'd be awesome. I would like that. Okay, yeah. He just gets the bar clapping. He gets the, like, okay.
Kind of like the end of Rudy when he comes out to join the field.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
place
yeah.
Just goes
crazy. Right there. Good, grab that one.
Yeah, that'd
yeah.
be perfect.
Rudy. So,
yes.
You're a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
Yeah. And
Which I used to say stay-at-home. I used to say a work-from-home dad.
Yeah.
But there's so little work that you can do when you're
yes.
a work-from-home dad.
So, are you sick of your kids yet? How old are they?
I've been in LA for 3 days now. I don't even remember what they look like. This
Aww,
is just great.
Do you miss them?
I do. I'm that
I bet.
I'm that ridiculous parent. I can't wait to get away.
We all are. We love them and they make us crazy. That's
I do
just
the countdown,
way it is, right?
To, oh, I'm gonna have a hotel room to myself, 3 days in LA. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to leave as soon as I get on the plane.
I know. And you're like, get in there and you're Skyping like the second, hi baby, I miss you.
And then,
I know.
My wife this time said, don't, you know, she knows me. She's like, don't miss us, just have a good time, get your work done, do everything.
Right.
And then I get on the plane, I open up the script I've been working on, and in there is a note that she put in from my son, like folded origami style. I love you, Daddy. I miss you. Have a great trip. Just blubbering tears. We're over Des Moines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been next to this nice couple for 2 hours. They think I'm so nice, and they look over, and I've just got my mascaras running.
Crazy. Yeah. They alert the sky marshal.
This guy's got snot bubbles
this
coming out of
is,
his face.
You need to move him, stat.
He is unhinged.
He's reading some type of note written in gibberish. I'm like, oh, God, it's so sad.
So, Todd, you're both recovering actors, or actually non-recovered actors.
Not recovered,
yeah. Still suffering actors. Both of you, actually, you meet lots of moms, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
sure,
we're not talking about the hot moms today, Todd.
Oh, no,
okay. I mean, I'm sure they're all hot. But let's just talk about relating to the moms, okay?
Relating to the moms,
so,
not about their hotness.
Right, not today.
Just about them
Another
being
day.
Parents.
Okay, settle. All right, so tell me, because we've talked about this a little bit, and you seem to meet moms that really kind of feel like they're so happy that you can relate on the same level, that it's kind of the same for you.
Yeah, it started with an article I did for Men's Health after my first son was born.
Okay.
And that first year is just a fucking bear.
It's horrible.
It's horrible. And yeah. I wrote
and
this
beautiful
article.
And horrible.
Everybody says, don't you love babies? I like my baby. And even that, it was...
It's all
risk, no reward.
Yeah.
Everybody's told me they're so cute when they smile. I'm like, yeah, that's about 8 seconds of my day. The rest is fucking misery. And I wrote an article about that. Like, I think I hate my infant son. And people were... My parents hated it, but everybody in the world was like, oh, thank God you said that.
Somebody said it.
We all feel that way.
Right. Somebody said it.
And specifically talking to moms, they're like, oh, I thought it was just women who felt that way. I'm like, no, dude, I've been, you know, primary caregiver. And
right.
That's just a nonstop job.
And it's just 24/7. And oh, and I always
more,
tell
it's
people
be more than
I always
that. It's like 27.
It's got to be, right? Like 28/7. I tell people the first year of the first baby is the hardest year on your marriage as well.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's really hard to remember that you're on the same team.
It's sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
It's just all this new shit that you're learning, not learning. You're trying to figure out nonstop. Oh, he's got the sniffles. Oh, he's coughing too much. Like you're looking
yeah.
up crew.
When to
you're
worry,
up
when
SIDS,
not to worry, when
up,
yeah.
Every
yeah.
goddamn
all
thing.
Of those things.
And all in 2-hour windows of I have to feed him again. I have to change
yes.
things. I have to do this. And I haven't slept in 4 days. And I haven't seen my wife. And we haven't said a nice thing in 2 months. And
my
right.
son, my son was a preemie baby.
Oh.
Try that. Like
yeah.
when you, and as soon as you get him home, like multiply that by 100. Like
it's the, just
like
chronic fear.
Everything that can go wrong, you're thinking, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, panic.
Should we take him back to the hospital? But
My first guy had a milk allergy that they couldn't diagnose, they couldn't figure out. So he kept getting, and my wife couldn't breastfeed after the first couple of weeks, so we gave him normal formula, which set off his insides.
Right. Aww,
so he never slept more than an hour and a half for
yeah.
the first 4 months. So we were
yeah.
fucking – he slept in the swing, you know, the baby swing?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He slept in that for 4 months.
My daughter slept in her stroller in the Snap and Go till she was almost a year for every single nap, for every – I mean, that
did
kid –
did it stunt her growth? Could she not expand?
No. You, like, because, you know, the I mean, but that was the only place that she would nap. And I really think that the hardest part – I mean, I would imagine you guys would agree. The hardest part about that first year is just the Navy SEAL style – sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
shit
crazy.
That just makes you crazy. I mean, I shouldn't have been driving a vehicle. I never slept 4 hours for 9 months.
Yeah, it's impossible.
I never got a full sleep cycle. And then my second child, that's the problem, thinking they're going to be any easier. She still eats this way, but she wanted to nurse for 5 minutes every 45 minutes.
Yeah, so do I.
You know the other thing you have
I
to
get
do?
That.
When you have
I appreciate
the,
that.
When you have the baby, the other thing you have to do is because you get all these freaking gifts from people mm-hmm. who are, love you and want to help you. And you get like those swings, you know, like those automated mm-hmm. swings.
Yeah, the thing that your kid slept in for 4 months
to put together.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was just like most of that for me was just me cursing. That's like, fucking really? What the fuck? Where the fuck is this? And the fuck?
And
like
the tiniest
hours,
instructions.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You should take into account a tired parent is putting it together.
Right, right.
It should just be huge.
They
fucking
should be
letters.
Yeah, huge letters. And now go have a glass of wine. And come back to step 6.
Right.
Right? That's
right.
how
they should
instructions
help you like that.
Should
like,
and then, lay out.
And then I did that for hours on that stupid swing, and then I put the baby in the swing, and he fucking hated it. He was like, ah, why would you put me in this goddamn thing?
He thinks it's the Spanish Inquisition. I go, yeah, no, this is supposed to be pleasurable.
You're supposed to fall asleep. Ah.
Listen to the music. No. Look at the mobile. Fuck you. You fucking
get me
kid.
Off this.
All this stimulation.
My wife used to work in the city and be gone from 7 in the morning till 6 in the afternoon. And there were so many days she would walk in the door like hopeful that things got better. And I would just be the guy with the snot bubbles and the tears just handing out the child
yeah.
and saying, I need to go away for 5 minutes.
Right.
And just get out of
you
the
hear
get
that?
Away from him.
You hear that? It happens to the dads, too.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
I remember very specifically one night having to run out to Save-On to buy diapers. And I wanted to be the one to go. Okay. I'd been in the house for 6 weeks. I had my baby at home. It was just... I was in those walls
mm-hmm.
and my ex-husband who hadn't, he'd been working, he'd gotten a job and he'd been in the studio just like 24/7. He's literally like, I'm handing him the baby like I'm handing him a bomb. Right. And he's just standing there and I'm like, I'll be back in 25 minutes. Okay. Like at the most. Okay. And he's like, okay. And I come back. I'm not kidding you. I kid you not. He's like, I can't sit down. Like she won't let me sit down. Every time I sit down, she cries. I'm like,
yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
it's so intense all the time. And I just think what you did by just saying it, just
yeah.
saying like, I think I might hate my kid. I just think that's something that we have to just kind of reconcile those feelings and know, obviously, you don't hate your child. You just hate this process.
And there are
right?
plenty of people who saw that headline and go, oh, what a horrible parent.
Horrible
they
parent.
Should take that child from you. I'm like, keep reading.
Keep
like,
reading.
There's not a parent on alive that hasn't had that
feeling.
Hasn't
had like, a moment.
You little shit. Like,
please stop crying. Please.
How can you possibly be shitting and pissing on me at the same time? Again.
Again. Louis C.K. has built an empire.
Yes, that's true.
Hating his children.
You opened the gateway to him, right? Exactly. When do you think it gets better? When do you think it gets better?
It was miserable for the first 2 years. And
2 years.
Like a switch turned. He started talking. He starts walking. And it was all of a sudden like, oh, I have a new best friend. Oh, this is entirely different.
I think that that's a really important part of it is that they start to communicate. And my babies were girls and they tend to talk before they start jumping off, you know, furniture. And so they just talk a little bit earlier. But, you know, didn't walk till they were 14 months. Once, especially my second child, could talk, being able to actually communicate and meet their needs and connect in a way that you feel like you know what the fuck you're doing helps tremendously.
Because up till that point, everything is a slot machine or
guesswork.
Vegas blackjack.
Right.
Let's see. He's crying.
Intermittent reinforcement.
Do I hit? Do I stick? I got 16 against the dealer's 27. Maybe I'll give him a bottle. I don't know what to do. Like, but as soon as they can say, I would like to watch TV. I'm hungry. I've crapped myself. Like, oh, okay. Now
fantastic.
I know how
now
this works.
Now we're getting
works.
Somewhere. Exactly. Yeah. So you feel like it gets better at about 2 years. I think for a lot of people, it gets better about 14 months and then they get knocked up again.
Well,
you know,
You know, my sister's a good example of that. Her baby was colicky.
Yeah.
So for the first 6 months, he was just crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that
hit the 6 month mark and he stopped crying. It was cute. And then she went from, I never, ever want to have another child to immediately like, I want to have another kid. I'm like, how have you forgotten about those 6 months so quickly?
That's what ours are 3 years apart. And it was like, the first 2 years suck, and then we had a great year. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, we should do this again. Yeah. That is so fucking great. And then you have another one. Oh, my God. What was I thinking? Yeah. Dumbass. Yeah.
So now your kids are 7 and 4, right?
7 and 4.
Okay, so they're school-age-ish, right?
The oldest one's in second grade. The other guy goes to preschool 3 days a week.
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh.
But isn't it funny how you drop them off, and then as soon as you get home, you feel like it's time to turn around and go back and get them?
Well, the little guy... I'm very lucky. Some people only do half days. He's in school from 9 to 3:30.
Oh, that you can actually get something done.
So
that's amazing.
I have when they go to like summer camp.
Yeah,
it's 9 to 1, and it's like all right. I dropped them off. I went for a run. Fuck, I barely have time to brush my teeth, and they're coming home.
Yeah, you're like I might as well just go to Starbucks with the computer because that's the only way anything's gonna get done.
Because I'm also a writer, so I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get something done. And there's nothing worse when you're writing than that fucking ticking clock.
Yeah.
I know.
Like, oh, I'm going to write for an hour. Nobody can write for an hour. You sit down and you can either write or you can't write.
Right.
Right. If you do,
that's so true.
Something could come out in 20 minutes or you could just put your head down and hours will fly by. But as soon as you keep looking at the clock, it doesn't work.
I think that's part of the challenge. I mean, I would imagine a lot of moms out there are, you know, entrepreneurs or, you know, they work from home and they, you know, it's that same issue. You know, it's really hard. That time management becomes so precious, you know, to be able to and I guess I think that the best advice I ever got was don't get on other people's agendas. Don't, you know, if you can avoid like reading your email or responding to your email or just delete as many as you possibly can or whatever. Just don't get on other people's agendas because that little bit of time that you have when they're at preschool, that's it.
That's it.
Like I try to pretend that I can work in the evenings when I have nothing gets done. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
But it
except
takes you years to get that rhythm.
It really does because, and so I will tell you now, if your kids are little, don't judge yourself for not being able to work. Like when they are a barrage of needs. That's what they should just have on their tattooed on them. I am a barrage of needs.
And the magical part is while you're dealing with that barrage, you forget all about your needs.
Oh,
and your wife's
completely.
Needs.
Completely.
And all the other things pulling at you in the
and
world.
And then what happens is if I do try to sit at my computer or, you know, or return an email on my phone or something like that, or maybe try to get a little bit of something done or make a post or this, and then you go into the black hole of Facebook, it's terrible. Then you feel like the shitty parent that's ignoring your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes my daughter used to say, Mommy, you need to like get off your phone. I'm working.
Shut
sort
the
of.
Hell up. Well, when he was coming, you know, I was an actor going into the city for auditions and I thought I could keep that lifestyle going. And then it was like, all right, I have a commercial audition, which, as you know, Todd, like, you don't book everyone. You go in. It's a numbers game. You have to keep going.
No, that's your auditioning's your job.
But now I'm
don't get paid for, really.
Right.
I'm an hour outside of the city. So every commercial audition, which can be like a two-minute say a line.
Is a major commute.
Yeah.
Is 3 hours of my life.
Yeah.
And then once we had the kid, it was like, oh, like – you start doing, okay, it could be a national commercial. That could be worth $50,000, but I have a 1 in 120 chance of booking it. Do I want to, the 3 hour commitment, like that's the only 3 hours I'm going to have this week. Do I want to spend it on a train and seeing a casting
director? I kind of do that with a gym. I'm like, well, I have a 1 in 120 chance of losing a pound. So do I really want to go to that workout? No.
I actually got in slightly better shape because my gym had a daycare.
Ah, see, this is good. Find a gym with a daycare. That's an excellent thing to do.
It got me through the first 3 years.
Yes, I do see that at my gym, and I think, good for you, mommies.
There would be sometimes I would just
or daddy's, sorry.
I would go bring him. He would go see Debbie at the gym, who he loved. I'd drop him off, and I would just go sit in the steam for an hour. Like an old Jewish man. I would just like,
that's
it's
awesome.
It's quiet. It's nice.
I love that.
For me, it was, I didn't do the gym thing. I got one of those Bob strollers. Have you seen these things? They have like awesome like bike off-road bike tires on them.
Oh, yeah. Like
a suspension. Like a front, good suspension. Yeah.
Good suspension, mm-hmm. And the front wheel swivels around. So and that was the one time, the one place where I knew he would fall asleep. If I went jogging with him, he would fall asleep.
Nice. See, back in New York, both our kids were born in the fall. So I had a long winter.
I can't leave
the house.
Yeah.
I can't take him in the stroller.
Right,
it's just,
what
the hell do you do?
Yeah, I live
it's
in
a
LA
chilly.
Because I'm smarter. Maybe.
Could be that. All right. Maybe.
It could be.
Let's talk about what you're most afraid of in the future,
the
Steve.
Is Todd smarter? Probably. Better looking? No. Taller? No. Richer? We'll figure that one out later.
All right. Both of you stand up. Let's have an ass contest. Okay. So, Steve.
I've been working my glutes, man.
What are you most afraid of in the future with this whole parenting gig?
I have it pretty good now. Like, I'm counting down until September. The little guy goes in kindergarten. That's going to be 5 days a week of 6.5 hours to myself.
I know. It's pretty amazing.
It's going to be glorious. But now they both like me. Like, I'm the most amazing dad in the world to them.
It's pretty cool.
I know that's not going to last forever.
Right.
I
you know
it
what
in
though?
I'm, young I'll, teens and stuff.
I will speak to that though.
Hit
I think
me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I'm actually writing a book about parenting. A little short one. A little shorty book. And at the end of MILF 101, I talk about cake.
Yes.
Connecting, allowing, killing the ego, right? I really think that if you can follow those four principles, I do think that they will continue to love you. So far, my kids, my girls, and I have girls, same gender kids. That's usually the nightmare. So far, I am still so close to my 11 and 15-year-old. And
that's the
I don't even understand why they like me so much. But the only thing I can say is that I'm emotionally safe for them. And I think that when you're that person to them and you remain emotionally safe, like they can come to you, your goal with them, and I'm not saying don't discipline. I mean, discipline is absolutely a part all of this, follow through because that helps them feel safe, right? But if you focus on connecting with your kids and allowing them to be who they are, right? And that involves killing your ego because you have to get your ego out of the way when you start projecting all of this shit that you want your kids to be or ways that you want them to think and ways that you want them to feel. And when you really allow them to have all of their own desires and dreams and tastes and food preferences and music preferences and people preferences and all of those things, right? Then you are emotionally safe. So... But you do have to get your ego out of the way a lot.
Totally.
Now, with discipline, you kind of have to win. You know what? Like, you have to.
I always
most
win.
Of the time. Like,
I
99.
Always win.
You reserve the right to change your mind every once in a while, you know, but you let them know that that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if you can keep your ego out of it and you're really. Your main goal is to connect with them and allow them to be who they are and flourish in that, they are still going to be fucking crazy about you.
Yeah.
Do you think my son is going to be crazy about me when he turns 16 and I force him to go to trade school? Because college is too expensive, let's be honest. And college education
you're just looking out for him.
Jobs
you're just
anymore.
Looking out for his plan B.
He may not care. Like, do kids still care about college?
I don't know.
His backup plan.
It was always because parents forced you to go to college. Like right. Now, a college, my degree in psychology has really done wonders for me in my corporate career in finance and now a career in showbiz. It's really, really.
The salary check I get is amazing. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying. Trade school.
Right?
Trade school.
Right?
I would love
pull
having
them out of high school.
If they could fix
16?
My car, that would be fine.
But Todd,
awesome.
You're going to.
I'll let him choose the trade.
I was going to say, Todd, you're going to make him think it's his idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
See? Because
yeah.
you're just going to like let him be who he is and make suggestions and let him know you would support him in something if he decided to just get a trade just to have one.
Yeah. Yes, you know? I think you should like, drop out of high school and go to trade school. I think that's a great idea.
I'm pretty convinced one of my kids is going to like take the GED and, you know, move to Paris or something and go to culinary school. So I'm going to lose her quick. So I better enjoy her while she's home, you know. And she's loud.
She's loud.
She's loud.
Then that'll be a nice break
I
for
mean,
you.
Yeah. No, I'll miss her though. See, this is the issue. Like, we love them. I mean, but think about it. Like, would you spend 24/7 with most of your friends, right? Because everybody has personality quirks, right? Everybody does.
Sure.
And so here's this little human that you made that you volunteered to live with. Okay. So. You allow your kids to have their own personality and you honor their own, their personalities, but you realize like this is a relationship that you volunteered for, right?
The ego thing you talked about before, the first, like my son goes with whatever I want, but I am a diehard Chiefs fan in football.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the dish, you know, I've been dreaming for 20 years that I'm going to someday have a son that will watch football with me.
Uh-huh.
And he kind of did not knowing anything the first, and then he turned 4 or 5. And the first game of the season they were playing, I don't know who it was, like they're playing the Falcons. Oh, I love the Falcons. I'm like, what? What?
Uh-oh.
And like by the second week, oh, I love the Giants today. Nope. No, what? Like he would like whatever team Chiefs were playing. And mommy had a little talk with him. Like, and that hurt to the bone. Like, you don't want what I want? How is that possible?
Right.
So that's going to get worse as he gets older and has his own likes, right?
He might just stop watching sports.
But you know
altogether.
What? There's going to be the day that they're playing some team that he'll turn around to one of his friends and be like, "Well, I'm rooting for the Chiefs because my dad likes the Chiefs," and it'll be like, "Oh."
Then I'll blubber like a little
girl. You'll blubber like a little girl. You will. So I have one more question for you.
Hit me.
I know that a lot of women feel a little bit of an identity crisis in being an at-home parent. You know, where they're not outside the home earning a paycheck,
mm-hmm.
right? And even those that are entrepreneurial and work at home, you know, always kind of going through a little bit of an identity crisis as to like, you know, who am I? Do you feel as a man, I mean, I know that you're a writer and an actor, do you feel like you go through those same feelings or is it maybe a little bit different? Do you get like more credit for being an at-home parent as a dad?
No, I feel, I went off the fucking cliff like Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
I used to be a corporate guy, so I know who I was. I was a vice president at Time Inc. I was a, you know, I was a suit and tie.
It's tattooed on
corporate
your heart.
Guy, yeah.
Mm. Right.
And then I blew off that world. And for many years before my kids came along, it was, oh, you're still doing the comedy thing? Are you still trying to act?
Uh-huh.
Like all those, are you still trying to write? Like everything, are you still trying to? I'm like, no, I'm doing all those things. Like you may not see me on your TV every week. My friends, why don't you get on that show, Lost?
Yeah.
We like that show. Like,
why don't you be a cop on one of those Law & Order shows?
You look like a pilot. What's that show? Pan Am. You should be on that. I saw that. It's going to be wonderful. Marge's friend said
it was
delicious.
It's like looking at a pretty teenage girl and going, you know, you should be in a Victoria's Secret magazine. You know?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Great idea.
That's great. I'm going to call
right
them
right
now.
I know when they're going to call holding in a football game. So my wife, oh, you should be an announcer. I'm like, no. I've just been watching football for 40 years.
In my next life, though, I am totally doing that. I fucking love football. I'm like, these people have the best job.
So you go,
so jealous.
I went from, you know, their years of people giving me that look, like, kind of like I got when your parents get divorced. Oh, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, you still not working? Like, that you get that look. And then you're a stay-at-home dad. It was like, oh, so now you have something to do. I'm like, no, now I have 4 times as much to do because I'm still trying to write and act. And now I've got this little fucking bundle of shit balls following me around nonstop.
Barrage of needs.
Yeah. But it totally messes with yourself because then you can't even do the stuff that you want to be doing.
Right.
So
right.
It's all just very strange. And I always hated, you know, like you said, 24/7 with my kid. Every time we would do all the housework.
Oh,
I do the grocery shopping. I do everything.
Yeah.
Every time I go to a store with the kid, there's always a woman behind the counter. Oh, get daddy giving mommy the day off? I'm like, No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife was like, why do you always take that comment so hard? I'm like, first of all, I hear it 6 times a week.
Sure.
Like, I know all men are probably horrible and never spend time with their children, but just because I'm...
That is so not true.
It's not,
right? I understand that that is the, yeah.
Daddy's giving mommy a couple hours on a Saturday? How nice. I'm like, no, this is what I do. Yeah. You get that, right?
All the time.
Yeah.
I was actually at the grocery store the other day doing the grocery shopping and ran into my neighbor. And she was like, where's your family? And I was like, well, my son's on a play date with his buddy, and my wife's at home preparing for her week of work. And she goes, and you're doing the shopping? And I was like,
wow, really?
I always do the shopping. And then she was like, oh. And like part of me was like, I've just been entirely emasculated here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then when she walked away, I was like, but she got in her car and started going, he always does the shopping.
My husband's a dick.
Just changed her whole world.
And then she went home and there was a huge fight. So I ruined her day.
You ruined her day too.
Good for you. Good for you.
Good for you.
There it is.
Do you feel, because I've been doing this for 7 years, like when I shop with the boys, like that's something to do with them.
Right.
And now that they're in school and if we need something, I feel like when I go to a supermarket by myself, what an utter fucking waste of time that is. Like, I'm not entertaining children. I'm just going in to get
right.
Stuff.
You're not multitasking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Because,
yeah,
when you go with the kids, then you're multitasking. Then you're, like, wearing them out.
That's
like,
a
they
good
get to
point.
Look at pretty colors. Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. And then you
it's
see
I actually, my kids are 11 and 15. I still feel that
you
way.
Still feel
it's
that
like,
way, right?
If they want to come to the market, let's go because this is going to count.
And then after years of smiling at the cute mom with who also has a toddler, when I do that when I'm alone, it gets totally different
reaction. That's totally creepy.
Yeah, right? I'm like,
you need the kids to, like, you know, they.
Yeah.
7 years,
take
I got nothing but
factor.
Smiles and hi. Oh, he's so cute. And when I go by myself, it's like, oh, run, honey, run.
Oh.
Now you're just a dude.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your perspective. And I think it's helpful. I think it's really good for everybody to know that we're all in the same boat.
We are all the same.
Right?
We
it's
all
not
hate
easy.
Our children.
It's not.
For a little while.
Well, it's just not this easy, romantic, beautiful thing. Like I used to always say, you know, when I put on that jacket of motherhood, it just wasn't like this perfect fit, you know?
Yeah.
It was fucking uncomfortable, you know? And I just had to wear it and do it.
And
you
I think
know?
It's worse.
I love the crap out of my kids. You
it's
know?
Probably worse now with social media because I know going on Facebook and seeing, you know, somebody with a 12-month-old, oh, just spent the weekend making our own baby food. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
They're so lying.
They gotta
they
be
so
like,
log off Facebook and go cry on the floor. You know
just,
that's not true.
Their whole page is humble
it's
brag.
Not true.
Oh, just knitted my own fucking diapers
yes,
for
and
little
it's
Petunia.
All the perfect pictures of the families, and isn't it lovely? And
Facebook is all just
it's
liars,
right?
Just, the whole thing
it's
is just liars.
Highlights. It's just highlights. Yeah, don't pay attention to that stuff.
I only post the bad stuff so people can go, oh, I feel better about my life.
Right,
now.
And then they just all feel bad for you.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good. That's good. We'll work the sympathy card. So how do we find you? Tell us again.
Everything is at stevebelanger.com on Twitter at stevebelanger.
Oh, we can tweet you.
Everything is my name. Yes, tweet away.
Nice.
Sister.
Nice. And where will you be?
You can find me.
Todd will be at the what, Albertsons
at
over
the Albertsons.
Pico.
Albertsons shopping.
Because
you
you're such a good guy. Yeah. Can't
or
believe
maybe
you
I'll
shop.
Be doing the house cleaning.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe
know.
You'll be doing some dishes. Well, we're going to talk about that in the
he
next
He is wearing
show.
A French maid's outfit
yes.
today, which is very, very strange.
See, now you would have won the butt contest if you'd worn that. So, all right, you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable. And also, please like the MILF Talk page if you would be so kind. Be sure to download your free goal-setting workbook from my website, makeyourlifefabulous.com. And my book, MILF 101, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in paperback, as well as Kindle, Nook, iBooks, and more. Thank you for listening, and thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.